Lord, thank you for giving us your bounty. In you, we get what we need. L'chaim.
L'chaim. That, of course, is because I'm good in bed. Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. KeithandtheGirl.com/feedback. KeithandtheGirl.com/chat, where everybody else is hanging out right now. How good is the band Tool?
Oh, God.
And now, and Hemda last, was it last night or this morning, told me, showed me the lyrics to Enema.
Do you have them in front of you?
Yeah. I have to go through Tool's lyrics now. I didn't realize
they're so amazing.
What poets they are.
This one, you know, sometimes they just, they go like a little more,
fuck you, angry.
These are the greatest lyrics ever. I always know that they have something clever to say, whatever. Right. But here, the song Enema, and I could never know which song goes to which actual thing that I'm hearing, like the name to the song, because like, right. You know, that You Must Have Been High, that song, right. That's called The Pot. I get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's also The Pot Calling the Kettle, blah, blah, blah. Right. But I don't know always what, they have a song called 46-2 or something. I don't know.
Agreed.
So, okay. So it's called Enema, right?
Right.
And so,
and you guys know the song. Some say the end is near. Some say we'll see Armageddon soon.
And he goes, learn to swim, learn to swim, learn to swim. And every time I hear it, I'm like, why does he want me to learn how to swim? I got to look these lyrics up someday. Meanwhile, I'm just like, oh, it's Tool. Like, they play really well, whatever. I can, right. You know, I'm always trying to figure out their lyrics on my own because you feel a better sense of satisfaction when you figure shit out on your own, you know? So I'm like, I got to pay attention. I couldn't get any of these lyrics. Nothing, nothing. I looked it up. It tickles me to no end. You got to read the lyrics.
Some say the end is near. Some say we'll see Armageddon soon. I certainly hope we will. I sure could use a vacation from this. That's pretty easy to understand.
Right.
Use a vacation from this bullshit three-ring circus sideshow of freaks. Here's this homeless fucking hole we call L.A. The only way to fix it is to flush it all away. Any fucking time, any fucking day. Learn to swim. I'll see you down in Arizona Bay. That means you want to blow up L.A.
No, you want Mother Nature to just flush it down.
He wants it to happen naturally.
Yeah. But the only way to get rid of these asshole L.A. people and the whole place is just to flush it down.
Right, and now we're going to have an Arizona Bay. Fret for your figure, fret for your latte. So these are all the things in this is new to me, so forgive me if you guys figured this out years ago.
Right. We're all excited. It's an old song of theirs, right?
Frosty was a snowman. Okay, you following?
I know we're all excited about this. What's this Nick from Vancouver saying? Not Enema, it's Einema?
Who knows?
What does that mean, though? Am I completely ignorant?
I
can look it up real
it's
quick.
It's A-E-N-I-M-A, but, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure you guys know. I don't know. But that proves kind of this point. Fret for your figure, fret for your latte, fret for your lawsuits, all these things that L.A. People worry about. Fret for your hairpiece, fret for your Prozac, fret for your pilot, fret for your contract, fret for your car. It's a bullshit three-ring circus sideshow of freaks. Here is this homeless fucking hole we call L.A. The only way to fix it is to flush it all away. Some say a comet will fall from the sky, followed by meteor showers and tidal waves. This is pretty easy to make out. Followed by fault lines that cannot sit still, followed by millions of dumbfounded dipshits. Just dying. Some say the end is near. Stupid shit, silly shit, stupid shit. One great big festering neon distraction. I have a suggestion to keep you all occupied. Learn to swim. Learn to swim.
So awesome. And now you got to know that they didn't write this song to try to get on the radio. Every other word is fucking shit.
Right. Mom is good. And I know I've heard it on the radio. And I don't think I've heard it go. I think that, nobody just recognizes it.
Any time, any fucking day.
Right. Mom is going to fix it all soon, Mother Nature. Mom is going to Mama's coming around to put it back the way it ought to be. Learn to swim. Fuck L. Ron Hubbard and fuck all his clones. Fuck all these gun-toting hip gangster wannabes. Learn to swim. Fuck retro anything. Fuck your tattoos. Fuck all you junkies and fuck your short memory. Learn to swim. Fuck smiley glad hands with hidden agendas. Fuck these dysfunctional insecure actresses. Learn to swim. A lot of things not rhyming, I notice.
It doesn't matter.
Because I'm praying for rain, praying for tidal waves. I want to see the ground give way. Blah, blah, blah.
And he says it so passionately in the song. I want to see the ground give way.
Right.
Just, learn to swim. Learn to swim. Learn to swim just sounds like I want to fuck you in that song.
Time to bring it down again. Don't just call me a pessimist. Try and read between the lines. I don't know that I can. I don't know I can read between the lines. I want to see it all come down, suck it down, flush it down. Read between
suck
the lines,
it
style.
Down, flush it down.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't welcome any change, my friend. But read between the lines. He's not all doom and gloom. I gotta go through all the lyrics
well,
now.
Well, he's saying if LA goes away, that's not a pessimistic thing. It's just upbeat and happy.
Oh, I see.
Come
okay.
on, learn to read between the lines.
Oh, all right.
Somebody sent me the, same guy who told me it's not enema.
Right.
Sent me the Wikipedia for that, but the Wikipedia for the word is
doesn't
just...
Doesn't talk to me.
And it just says that it's a second full-length album for American Rock Tool Band, you know, whatever. That doesn't really explain what
oh,
the word
enema. Thank you, Nick. Enema. Of course.
It's a combination of words, Latin for soul, associated with the idea of life force, and a term often used by psychologist Carl Jung, and enema, the medical procedure. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's a combination of poop and soul.
They are deep. It's these undeep lyrics that make it deep. I don't know. I got to go through. You know, like, I'm really into that song now, The Pot, you know, but...
You're into it, too?
Yeah, but you got to... we like some things in common. You want to go to...
No, because you know what happens is I play Tool so often that you're like, don't you have any other songs? And I'm like,
there are more than the three songs, but...
Well, I play, like, what, 10 of them? But it's just I play them on loop all day long if I start right. going. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I dig it, but, you know, the lyrics are a little basic and fuck you. I mean, I love it, but I don't know. They're like deep and not deep at the same time.
Yeah, well, some of them are different. But were you about to say, do you want to go to a Tool concert?
Nope.
Oh,
yes, I was.
I do, but I think they're really difficult to get and very expensive, right?
Oh, God.
I have no idea. Oh, no. If you ever get me tickets to Tool, I will just kiss you and not. That's the one present.
Isn't that funny, folks? But not something you can actually physically hold on to that I've been dying for.
I'm an asshole. You know what? I'd like to officially apologize to you. If you get me a present, I should be happy about it and not be such a jerk about it. Because somebody once did that to me and they're like, I told you not to get a present. I'm like, you're ruining this. I already got it. Why don't you just enjoy it?
Right.
You know? Okay. I get it. And I'm sorry.
I think
that's... You know what it is also? I thought that maybe it's a good thing that I don't like things. Like maybe I'm making, you know, other people's, especially your life, easier. Maybe I was just being an asshole. What can I say?
I think that's why guys buy gifts that are really for themselves. Like, oh, you got me a bowling ball with your name engraved on it. Yeah, fuck me. I'm an asshole.
I'm going to get some shit for it anyway. Right. I might as well enjoy it after you shut the fuck up.
So I wonder if Tool starts, you know, reading the paper and starts seeing different things and just every day, like, this is what I'm fucking talking about. Amy Winehouse is out of rehab and has apparently scored herself new digs with the Osbournes. She's going to move in with Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne.
That is the solution to everything that she's going through, I think. I'm genius. Thank you so much.
Amy Winehouse moving in with Ozzy and Sharon and their daughter Kelly in the guest house of their estate outside London. The stick-figured rehab singer, just out of rehab herself, is a long... That was 3 days! I'm not a rehab expert, but I know it takes at least a season from what I study on TV. Just out of rehab herself is a longtime pal of Kelly, also a former rehabber. Kelly has always been
Kelly
there for,
Osbourne?
Yeah, who doesn't have his shit together now either.
You know what, though? Kelly, you really went through some shit. Did you listen to one too many bad, naughty songs? You had a song called Shut Up.
Kelly has always been there for Amy. They are very tight.
What?
There was a video of her smoking crack a week ago. Where was she then for her?
So how long have they been friends? We've been watching their lives forever.
Oh, so she's always been there for her. Yeah, to tell her where the dealers are. Well, that's who you go to. Do you know Ozzy's not clean? I don't know if anybody really knows that. He's
what?
Not, and he admits to it.
No.
He acts like he's... Yeah. He's
when?
Like,
really? Serious?
Yeah, like, you're clean. Yeah, pills, wine sometimes. Like, oh, okay. All right. But only sometimes, right? He thought you went into rehab and they still gave you booze.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Just
it's
less.
It's legal?
Just less.
They control it. It's like a diet
yeah,
place.
Yeah, exactly. remember Michael Matera was talking about the Obama girl?
And yeah.
And I didn't...
We posted a picture under all episodes.
And I didn't understand what a phenomenon this was. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's this girl and she's hot and she sings some song to Barack Obama, you know, about being in love with him, and it got 100 million hits. And I said, do you realize how many 100 million is? And he said, yeah. Put your cock in my mouth. I'm gay. And I said, you're an idiot. And he said, why? Because it's 100 million. Can I lick your balls? And I said, you don't know what 100 million is. You're fucking stupid. And then I punched him, I think. I looked it up, and it's still very popular. And it is surprising, I guess, that we haven't heard about it. But 6 million.
Oh,
as of right now. I just want to make it clear. There's a little difference.
That's big, but 100 million, there's a difference.
There is a difference. So, yes, he is stupid.
Every day it's going to be a new confirmation of him being gay and stupid.
Right. She seems like a nice enough girl watching this video, but it goes to show you.
What did you just say?
It's not good. There is.
Did you say goes to show you? You did, and did you know that you said it?
What do you mean?
Is brother love seeping
it
in?
It goes to show you.
It goes to show you. Brother love is in.
Nothing wrong with that. He says it shows to go you to be funny.
It goes to show you.
Yeah, that's normal.
Damn it, he got into my brain then, because I don't know which one's right anymore.
It goes to show you is normal.
Damn it. Of course it is.
That's right. Point, Keith, for those of you at home.
Of course it is. That's 2 points to you. I already apologized on the show and everything.
So I watch it, and it goes to show you that you don't know what's going to be a hit on YouTube or why. It's not a Tool song. Let's put it that way. And so anyway, you know, she's talking about her love for Barack Obama and how she wants Obama to be president. And the New York Times ran into her on Tuesday and said, did you vote? And she said, no.
No. She could have at least faked it. Nobody's going to call her on it.
I've never heard of this, but apparently it's been around for a while. Last summer, the music video, I Got a Crush on Obama, you can just Google it or YouTube it, was a web hit, splashing a seductive performance by a 26-year-old model named Amber Lee Ettinger across millions of screens and prompting deep thoughts about candidates and sex appeal, the YouTube generation of voters, viral marketing, and so forth. And I'm looking this up today, you know, her and her video and people reporting on it. I understand the newspaper needs something to talk about, but they do like to act like this is deep. Like, what does this mean? Why are there younger, you know, what's the younger generation into? Mm-hmm. And like, they're into the computer, they're into the internet, and this is something on it to jerk to. On Tuesday night, City Room ran into, I guess this is the New York Times calls himself this section, ran into Miss Ettinger at an election watching party in Greenwich Village and asked how things went at the polls. And she said, I didn't get a chance to vote today because I'm not registered to vote in New York. So where's Obama girl registered to vote? New Jersey. Didn't New Jersey also hold a primary? True. The problem, she explained, was that she was sick in New York City and was unable to get back across the Hudson River to the polls in Jersey City.
Just lie.
Yeah, I did.
Just lie.
It's great. The levers or whatever. Yeah. It's fantastic. I was in it. Or say no, though. Just the weird lies, though, too. Like,
I
guess what?
Sick.
I'm just...
who cares?
I just danced around.
That's not my job. I do the booty shaking job.
I'm in love with him. That's it. What am I going to... Did you help write him a policy? No, I didn't. I guess I don't really like him. I was in Arizona for the Super Bowl. Every time I get on an airplane, I get sick. She said she did manage to make it to a party that night. Well, she had time to rest in the afternoon. That's not fair. Miss Ettinger said she had dragged herself out Tuesday night during duress only because she was scheduled to perform at the Bowery Poetry Club. What does she do?
Who?
She
Obama
perform?
Girl?
Yeah. She's a performer.
Wow.
The previous day, she had hit the streets of New York to interview voters where a Daily News photographer snapped her picture on Park Avenue. And how did she feel about missing the opportunity to cast her ballot for her one and only? I'm a little upset, but I really couldn't help it today, she said mournfully. Well, she might get another chance in November. Or not. Or not. Dig. Good job, New York Times.
Maybe the problem is us that we're expecting this girl to actually have answers for the New York Times.
Right.
What's wrong with us? What? Because she shakes her ass, she's suddenly an expert on politics? I don't think so.
Here's new changes in eBay policies.
eBay, the world's biggest online auctioneer, has a problem. The number of people using the site has leveled off, so the company is throwing out one of the bedrocks of its business model: the ability of both buyers and sellers to rate each other.
The feedback system has been around for more than 10 years, and it remains right at the heart of what makes eBay work, but it needs to evolve a little bit.
eBay will now strip sellers of their ability to criticize buyers, eliminating the tit-for-tat, Some eBay buyers say sellers are using to retaliate against them for giving negative feedback.
Good. I like that.
I'm sorry. Just really quick before we get into what she said. It's so difficult for me to listen to these people because of their voice.
English?
No, just the... Some people say that eBay has to have a different way of working. This viewer says it's just, it's not difficult for you. It hurts my ears.
It's the way newscasters talk, period. And you don't want to hear a whole nother language doing it, too. They do it all around the world, apparently. Just talk normal. eBay's changing their policies. eBay!
Criticize buyers, eliminating the tit-for-tat. Some eBay buyers say sellers are using to retaliate against them for giving negative feedback.
So if you're a buyer and you buy something, you can leave feedback. Now, if you're a seller, you can't leave feedback. And I see there's really no reason to.
In general.
I see maybe you didn't get your money in time from a buyer, but it's more often than not. It's going to be the other way around.
But wait, if you're a seller, you can also be a buyer, though, no? You could
be both, but if you're going to complain about something, I think it'd be more like how the customer's right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. More often than not, it's going to be the seller fucking you by rating something's wrong. Like, say, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to make up an example. You wanted to buy the Dice Filth album, right? And they only sold it on the internet. And maybe some dude stole all your shit when you lived in a hostel. So you don't have that anymore and you really can't buy it anywhere. And you see it on eBay and you see it for like $2 or $3. And you're like, oh, what a deal. But that's not the point how much it was. And you see it's a 3 CD set and you see the cover to all of them. And you're like, whoa, that's, I'm not going to get that anywhere. And you buy it. And maybe in the mail you get burnt discs. So you still have all the jokes, and they're still busted out into separate tracks, but that's not what you wanted, and that wasn't the point. And so you let them know, and they email you back, fuck you.
Wow.
And then maybe you go on eBay, and you write, no, my friend, fuck you. I know how to do this, and I write, he said I'm going to have the Filth albums, not a copy of them. So then he can just go back into my thing and give me a lower score.
Oh, even without buying anything?
Exactly.
Okay.
And just write, like, this guy can't read the directions or read, it says...
I didn't know you can do that.
It's a copy. And I'm like, you put the picture of it, asshole. I guess technically you used the word copy. I just figured it was a copy from the manufacturer or something. Mm. You deliberately did it to trick me. But you can always go back. Like, people, that's important to them. It doesn't matter to me because I don't use it enough. But the rating is important to people. And they're going to be afraid to shit on anybody, because you can easily just go back and shit on them.
Right.
You know? Well, I didn't get my box from them. Like, what are you even talking about? I don't know, but it lowered your thing. I like it. I like it a lot.
Overall, they're changing the policies because they do realize the customer's king. And that if you really want to grow your customer base and you want more visitors to actually buy on eBay, then you're going to have to do something to encourage them.
But eBay sellers are up in arms.
This means that we have no voice, we have no way to defend ourselves, and whatever the seller says is rule.
Man, that's stupid because people just don't take the time to ruin you out of nowhere. Nobody cares. Yes, I love this. Ace is 10.
Nick is chiming in. That's fine. But what if you're a little home business seller and some dickhead buyer comes on, buys your shit, and then charges you back? They have no recourse against them. Do you know what he's talking about?
If what charges you back?
Buys your shit and then charges you back. Like, he buys it and then maybe calls his credit card company and cancels it?
When does that happen, Nick?
I don't know.
It never happens.
Well, Nick was also wrong about the tool stuff. It's
Nick!
Not Inema.
Come on, Nick!
He's in Vancouver.
Yes.
Oh, Canada, we can't be mad at you.
No, it just doesn't happen. Maybe you'll have one dummy once in a while rating something. You're going to realize everybody's doing it. You know what I mean? You're going to realize, you'll have one dummy say something dumb.
I think the way you see it is, like, when we look
at the overall picture.
when we look for a video camera, let's say, we look at the feedback on the video on all kinds of video cameras to figure it out. So when we read the reviews, yes, there could be a review like, oh, forget this. I couldn't see in the dark. I couldn't see this, that, and the next. But overall, there'll be like 10 reviews, and we'll go for the majority rules.
There'll be 10 reviews. 9 of them will be 5 stars, best I've ever seen. The other one, and the one out of the 10, oh, this is shit. I can't fucking believe it. Panasonic, are you kidding me? I call a pan of shit. And you take that with a grain of salt, and you realize this guy's obviously a fucking idiot. He's the only one, and that's how you judge. It doesn't stop you from buying anything. You just realize one person was a dummy. You know, nobody's putting together a thing with their friends to really fuck your business. A big business doesn't have time to worry about the little guys, and I'm thinking conspiracies now, but to get friends together and really just try to sabotage your business. That's stupid. And unless you bought, and you'd have to buy something to leave feedback. You can't just leave feedback.
Well, the thing is, I mean, don't say never. Yes, people will take the time to get all their friends together and ruin your eBay thing.
Give me one situation.
There are 15-year-olds who have all the time in the world.
They have to buy things. No, they have to buy things.
I see.
And then you just report them to eBay, and they're done because you have their credit card on file, their mom's credit card on file.
Their mom's credit card.
By the way, I guess, Jeremy, maybe to compare it to the Obama video, the top video on Keith and the Girl now is 650,000 views. Well, in Michael Matera dog math, that's 2 million. So not bad. Not bad.
It is amazing. One of our videos has over 500,000 views.
I want to talk about the product that you found out last night, Easy Curves.
Oh, my God.
Check us out at easycurves.com.
If you know about easycurves.com, you stay up way too late for no reason.
It's an infomercial for half an hour?
No, it's just a random commercial. All of a sudden, it's so weird.
This is fantastic. You look on it, and you'll see this, the only video moving, and you can click here to watch Easy Curves working, and you just get a bigger picture of it.
This sounds like we're doing a commercial. No, this is so incredible. This is a thing that a woman can take. It looks like a barbell, I guess, right? It's a straight long
stick. It looks like the club for your car.
Yes. So it looks like the club. You put your hands on it in front of you, and you squeeze it in and out. You pull the club, just as you would the club. You pull it in and out a little bit.
Yeah.
And as you pull it in and out, your boobs move closer and then more away. Closer and then more away to each other. And it just comes out of nowhere. And you're just watching, you're just mesmerized as these women's boobs just move. And what it's supposed to do is you're doing exercise for your boobs. So they lift and they squeeze together on their own once you work that muscle well enough.
Results, of course, will vary, but the average bust line will change in 1 month from 36.4 inches to 37.2.
That's ridiculous.
When you were a kid and you used to do, we must increase our bust.
Do you know this one?
Oh, yeah.
We must increase our bust. The bigger, the better, the tighter, the sweater, the boys depend on us.
And you would move your arms back and forth, right? That's kind of what you were doing. You were doing the old school manual version by yourself, the cheaper version. And now you can buy. They should add this to the club. They should just throw this on the pack. Call
it's
the printers.
A 2-for-1.
Call the printers.
The printers.
Yeah, right on there, it helps your tits too. And for you ladies, you don't know about cars, ladies, but you do know about your bus size. That is incredible. And somebody's buying it. And somebody's buying it enough that they have money for it to be a commercial. You're going to see this years later. It's not like they're going to lose money on this either. That is amazing. What dumb shit could we make? That is incredible. Like,
yeah, somebody's upset about their boobs enough to buy it, you know?
Here's the problem. I think we as normal people think, like, oh, I got to come up with an idea like this. Why didn't I think of that? But then you see something like this, and you're like, why are we thinking? Don't even think. Like, what could we just give to people? The brick.
How about the, you know, I mean, what was it, in the 60s or 70s where they had the Pet Rock?
Pet Rock, yeah. Pet Brick.
Where were we going from Pet Rock? There's no way.
Yeah, nothing. That's true.
You're done after Pet Rock.
I bet that came out of L.A.
It's just funny. Their entire countries, he decided L.A. needs to go under.
Right. Nothing disgusted him like L.A. He still lives there, though. That's interesting.
Does Tua live in L.A.?
I don't know.
I thought so.
But it's a lot of passion to say you only been on vacation. It's fucking Chinese theater. Pen and paper, stat. Right, listen to this about Don Imus. A book company feels so dissed by shock jock Don Imus that it has filed a $4 million lawsuit against him. Flatsign Press says sales of its books tanked after it paid for an ad on Imus's old show, and he bloated that its products were cheesy. He blasted that the products were cheesy. I don't know what these books were about. It doesn't really say.
So he decided to just talk about these books as his opinion.
No. Well, yeah. But here, the book was a copy of the Warren Commission report on the JFK assassination with an introduction by former president and commission member Gerald Ford. The book was a limited edition with Ford's autograph, and he said it's cheesy. He got paid to do this ad. Or however you look at it, the radio company got paid that pays him to do this ad. And he decided to say that it's cheesy.
Then he's wrong.
And actually hurt sales. He's very wrong. He's very wrong. I don't know if we did a good ad for the bust sizer. But we did not get paid for that. And
well, we didn't get paid for that.
And we would have done it better. That is fucking ridiculous. You remember this classic one we played before? Little thing I call Imus and Andy. Our buddy Andy Rooney, who, of course, we'll cover today. And Don Imus, back in the day, during the Rutgers University talk. And that Andy Rooney can't get over. Like, whatever happened to the word Negro, that was a good word.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. We played it back then.
Every time I hear the words African-American, you know? I don't know why we have gotten caught with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I'm an Irish-American.
Yeah. I know what you mean. What should I say? Just black, right?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with black.
I don't either.
Growing up, it's funny how words get to be opprobrious. The word Negro is a perfectly good word. It's a strong word and a good word. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't. Mostly, it's not necessary to identify anyone by skin color.
No, it's not. That's maybe a point. That is fantastic. And you know it's not coming from a bad place. He's just an old fucking idiot. You know, I don't... They don't like when you bring up we used them as slaves. I don't know what was so bad about doing a good day's work. Man, I don't know.
Two old white guys.
Just old people.
Old.
Played this 2 days ago, but add this guy, and you got the trifecta of old, Larry King.
Well, let's do a Sinatra. You like Sinatra, I like Sinatra.
I do, I love it.
Can we do Sinatra rap?
Why not?
How do you do it? Like, what song can we do in rap?
Let's do Start Spreading the News.
I'm leaving today. All right, now that's not rap.
But you can make it rap,
okay,
right?
Start spreading the news.
That's rap, old man. You made it rap.
I'm hey, leaving today.
You mind if I call you Negro?
Right.
It's a perfectly strong word.
Spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Yeah.
Come on. I want to be a part of it. Come on.
New York. Come on.
I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps.
Come on, wait on you.
You just try to make it sound bad, and you think that's you're doing rap. Mm. I make it ghetto, and I don't pronounce the words right.
I want to wake up in city. never say.
Up to you, New York. Give me your money. How was that? Did I do good? Was that good? That's how you guys do, right?
Larry, I'm following your lead. I'm your background. It's
but
the
you ain't
Larry
doing
TV
nothing.
Show.
You're hanging me out to dry. Give it to the Jew every time.
You shiftless son of a bitch.
Brother Darkness says, hey, be easy on Larry King. He hasn't been the same since they shot Biggie.
He hasn't been the same since his seventh stroke. Take him out of the chair. This is it. Remember I asked, like, what job do you just let people have because they've been in it for a while? It doesn't mean you can do it. Somehow he snuck in. He's been doing it for 30 years. They just let him go. Do you know that his thing is that it's actually something he prides himself in that he doesn't do research on his guests. We played many clips, and it's quite obvious he's so out of touch. But he's proud of himself that he doesn't do research.
Proud in terms of what? In terms of like...
He's the viewer. He's like, I'm also the viewer, and I don't know this information, and I get it from... That's why he has such dumb questions.
I have to say that I'm sometimes proud when I don't know what's up with celebrities, because I'm like, good, I don't need to.
But you're not interviewing them.
However, yeah, and then a lot of times my co-host Keith is awesome, and if I'm going to have an interview with somebody, I'd like to know what questions to ask, because the reason why people tune in, Larry King, is because they do know this person, and they want to hear a continuation from what they know, not from randomly, what do you do for a living?
Larry King was talking to Jeffrey Dahmer's parents, dad and stepmom, back in 2004.
But he didn't do any research on who Jeffrey Dahmer is.
Right. they showed one of the crazy screaming black bitches, and when they came back to Larry, he said, there were many people who claimed the killings were a racial thing, since most of the victims were Asian and African American.
No.
All right, here it is. Here's Andy Rooney, one of the trifecta. If you get all three of these guys in one room, oh jeez, slavery's gonna be back. Here's Andy Rooney on Organization.
Now a few minutes with Andy.
You hear like the apologizing in their voice when 60 Minutes goes. Here he is. He's thinking again, and that's never a good thing. Here's Andy. I don't get it.
Now, a few minutes with Andy.
My life is cluttered with things I've saved. Most of them aren't worth saving, but I can't bring myself to throw them away. If I have an empty box, I fill it with stuff I decide to keep. This box is filled with notepads that I've never written a note on.
I relate.
Right under...
We get it, Andy. You're still messy. I get it.
This box is filled with notepads that I've never written a note on. Right under my feet, I have one of those metal file dividers. I bought this about 8 years ago. I filled it with papers that I never look at. Just sits there, full.
Maybe his segments would be good if he would find all the little pieces of paper that he writes throughout the week.
Maybe that's it.
Do you know what I mean?
He writes 6 days a week some smart stuff, and he's like, there's cameras? Oh, I got nothing to talk about. Maybe I'll talk about the clutter. The irony is, you're a brilliant writer. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
With papers that I never look at. Just sits there, full. I made this box to keep papers in and to separate, say, legal matters from letters from old friends. It has 7 places for different kinds of papers, but I forget what the difference is. Keep a couple of cardboard boxes right here by my desk. Every once in a while, maybe twice a day, I come across something I want to keep, and I put it in one of these boxes. When the box fills up, I start filling another box. These floppy disks seem like a...
Now that would be a fantastic episode, I think. How about you look? Like, there's no way I'll ever know. Well, stay in the office an extra 2 minutes and videotape that. Well, fuck me. I'm divorced, apparently. Look at this one. They're not paying me anymore. I gotta go through these.
Fills up. I start filling another box. These floppy disks seemed like a great idea when they were invented. I like to be in on technological progress, so I have hundreds of disks now filled with stuff I've written. Never look at any of them.
And it's also very hard. You have to special order a floppy disk drive now, jackass. Way to be on top, though. I'd like to be on top of the advancements. So, I got a carrier pigeon.
Here they are, though, ready when I am. If I do have something on paper that I want to keep, an appointment or something,
rotate. Or this box filled with old love letters from the Negro girl down the street.
He pins it up on the bulletin board. Paper that I want to keep, an appointment or something. Susie pins it up on the bulletin board, and I never look at that either.
Fucker. And you know what they do in the... You watch this on the video? They cut to her coming in the office and putting... There really is a girl named Susie. She does do things for him. Maybe for other office people. I'd hope so. Because that, I would rather be a security guard in a nothing happens mall than be his secretary. An easy job, but I'd rather slice wrists.
Josh is quoting, I like to be in on technical progress. Ha!
Right.
These are the really important papers up here. Different categories of important. Personal, legal, family, mm-hmm. business, ideas. I no longer know what these papers are. All I can tell you for sure is they're important.
And I just shat myself. Another great thing about the video is that this section where the camera goes over a shelf and shows the different stacks when he goes through the different lists. You know, important, Chinese, not important.
But what does it make a difference to us? It's just pieces of paper to us. It looks the same, right?
Exactly. It looks the same. It's piles of paper, but...
We trust you that's the important file.
You take our Keith and the Girl TV shows, for example, and if you'll have somebody talking... And then all of a sudden you see, like, it fades in to them. Their head moved a little different. And you could tell a boring part was taken out, right? That's what's happening when they're scrolling across these things. I think his list was 15 piles longer. And they had to shorten it. They had to cut a little bit out of him. And they had to speed up this guy taking his camera.
That must make sense, yeah. That makes sense.
Some of my old calendars here. This is 1994. Here's 2003.
I'm just laughing at Dark Star. List that shit, Andy. List that. Wonder if that's a drinking game in colleges. Yeah, list.
Here's here. This is 1994. Here's 2003. Apparently, I went to Paris on Monday, June 2nd that year. I forget how long I stayed in Paris, but must have been a quick trip because I gave a speech in Buffalo on June 9th. It's hard to know how much of your life you ought to try and save so you can enjoy remembering it.
Here we go.
Sometimes all you can remember are the things you'd rather forget.
I'm Morley Safer. We'll be back next week at our regular time with another edition of 60 Minutes.
I don't know how he got hired either. See you next week.
We should find his original segments.
What do you mean?
Maybe he used to be good. When you say, I wonder how he got hired in the first place.
No.
We used to have lower standards.
That's what, you know what it is? It's the way people think all old stuff is the only good stuff. I happened to be on the chat the other night, and somebody was talking about, you know what? Somebody was doing a report for college on Frankenstein. And so, of course, I go, big retards walking around killing people. You better kill them first. The end. And then an older guy was there and said, you know, you're a fucking idiot. It's brilliant. I'm like, okay, maybe the scientist, but not this dumb fucking monster walking. That's deep. It's not a Tool song. And he's like, you don't get it. I'm like, I know, because it was old and you know, nothing new can ever be good. Everything old. Well, actually, I didn't read it. You didn't even read it. You just know it's fucking good. Everybody gives credit to the whole thing. And also, another point is that these are always the first thing. Nobody's going to be better than Shakespeare. Nothing's going to be written better than Frankenstein. You know, miles to go before I sleep. All right. We've all been fucking tired.
I didn't know Frankenstein was considered such a...
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And that's because there was nothing then. There's nothing to compare it to. Andy Rudin got hired because nobody else was alive. Him and dinosaurs. Then Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve's like, you know what, this is kind of interesting. You know?
Because nobody else was talking to them.
When I was a kid.
That was them going out, Adam and Eve. They were like, well, we can either talk to each other again, or we can go see the Andy Rooney show.
Right. This is gonna be a tough game. Who's ready to play? All right. Who's the guy that writes for newspapers? Barry. Dave Barry. Was the answer. Did anybody get that before I said it? When I was a kid, I thought he was so funny. I read his stuff now, and there's nothing clever about it. But back then, he was like one of the only humor columnists. That's what I think. My point is, back in the day, there wasn't anything. Everybody was the first. And now they get to keep their fucking jobs.
Well, be the first. I don't know.
You can't. You're so lucky.
It's done.
They were already the first. This guy couldn't have gotten any more unprofessional. A Hungarian lawyer for the mayor's office in Gyor faces disciplinary charges after biting a female colleague's breast at a dinner. Laszlo Papp...
How does that come up in dinner?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Oh.
He's 32, and he allegedly said to a woman, I don't fancy my chicken breast. I think I'll try yours instead.
Oh.
And then started munching on her tits.
Oh.
The woman found
this. That's a good line.
No, it's a good one. Like, it's this one's kind of dry. How are your milk-infested breasts? You know? The woman didn't like it and launched legal action. And hired him to be the lawyer.
Can I just say, like, I hate to give him credit, but
right.
How do you... You have to say the line, right?
Right.
As you're saying the line, you're reaching in.
Yes.
You bite. How do you do all that so quickly? She must be like, wait, what's up? You're on my what?
You want me to tell you how you do it so quickly?
Right.
Tequila. That's how you do it so quickly. There's a commercial in there. There is no doubt alcohol involved in this story. A New Zealand man was sentenced to 50 hours of community service for punching a man over a breach of urinal etiquette. Edward Aldrich, 47, decked the man twice in a bar bathroom because he didn't like the way the man was looking at him. Now, this is in a section.
Not surprising, right, babe?
Not
surprising.
I see why. He just didn't like it. You don't just punch people because you didn't like the way they look. Some people do. They're retarded. They get too drunk. But in general...
But it's an interesting coincidence it's in the bathroom.
It's an interesting coincidence. It goes back to the eBay thing. In general, there is a reason you gave this man a bad review. Crazy Mike was in the bathroom. He said, hey, how are you? Enough. Punch.
Actually, Crazy Mike doesn't have the balls to do certain things to strangers when... Like, when we were in the car, he waited until the light was green to yell out the window.
People were writing on the forums... Crazy Mike, more than one person, maybe Crazy Mike is shy and, you know, he doesn't really, you know, he gets nervous and doesn't know how to talk to you. And I've gotten this before. I'm like, Henda, this guy's being a real fucking asshole to me. And I don't think it's me. And Henda will say, he's shy and he doesn't know what to do. Let's talk about back in the day again. Remember back in the day when shy people shut the fuck up? Remember when you were shy and you were nervous and that meant you were quiet? And that meant you hid in a corner and you cried? What happened to those days? When does shy mean you got to go for my balls? I was shy. I didn't mean to tell everybody we were faggots, but I'm shy.
20 people on the feedback before you said Crazy Mike were like, was Crazy Mike in the bathroom with him for the urinal thing? And going back to the guy who bit the woman's breast,
right.
Jay from Canada says, and this fish is a little off. Maybe I can try your...
And now for dessert. Waiter, I'll have the asshole. Oh, never mind. She has one.
That's a nice bite, babe.
Thank you. But seriously, shy people. Be shy. What happened in those days? Back in the day, you loved to be around a room with shy people. They kept to themselves. Nowadays, they're always the fucking jackass putting lampshade on their head. I'm shy. Well, thanks for getting over
it. The shy guy is now the life of the party.
Quit getting over being shy on my time. That's all. I think he's just nervous and uncomfortable. So he called you an asshole. I had a dude, I won't call him out, but a dude over my house and we're playing poker. And this guy's just like, fuck you, go fuck yourself to everybody. Fuck you. And I'm like, I'm looking around like, what the fuck is going on? And everybody tells me like, it's okay, he's nervous. He's nervous. You walk in, fucking fingers blazing. Fuck you, fuck you. Yeah, sorry about last night. I was nervous. Then you shut up and sweat, and you wait till when it's time to jump in. Or you hope we include you. Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. He put the cards on top of the fucking table. I'm not saying you're cheating, but I don't trust you. Oh, you really think I'm cheating? Then they put the cards down their pants. Do you really think I'm cheating? I'm offended. Are you shy? Are you embarrassed and nervous? Oh, I'm so fucking shy. I figured I'd put on a one-man show. I'm shy. Be shy. Shy people. I'm shy, so I'm sucking cock in the bathroom for the next half hour. Oh, well.
This is going back to everything that's the first is the best. You
right.
See Rhoda Tate's thing? Listen here, kiddies. I remember when The Matrix came out. Not the sequels. Mm-hmm. The original. There will never be another artificial intelligence, human Armageddon war movie better than that ever. Fucking kids.
Good point. Good point. And we all know the third one was the best. There's an Australian army officer stunned his barracks mates when he returned from leave as a woman. Austrian. Did I say Austrian? Austrian. Yeah. While away, the officer, previous known as Gregor, had a sex change operation to become Jasmine.
Oh, that's a bit of a stretch name-wise.
I remember when they took the German army seriously. The German army. Do you guys remember that? When the German army was prideful? Senior army staff said...
Weren't they looking into what makes people like this, though?
Right.
Maybe a couple too many experiments there.
Senior army staff Fuckos. Said the guy turned doll would be allowed to keep his, or rather her job. We accept this very personal decision, said a defense ministry spokesman. This is why
it's a new world,
this
people.
Is why America honestly has the greatest military. You know what? That was your decision, and I respect it. You're a woman now. You're a woman now. And then I'm supposed to salute you. And not think you're crazy and go into battle with you. I think I'd like to be reassigned.
You know, for less than that, they think you're crazy in the Army, no?
Yeah.
It's just that this is the PC thing, you know?
Right.
This is a huge psychological... I mean, who did we talk to? We used to have a guy. He's still... She gave some feedback tonight. I forget his name, but he used to call in, was going to have a sex change, right?
Right.
And according to what he said... You have to go through a lot of psychological analysis
right.
in order for
not in Germany. You can do it on a weekend. You can do it on a weekend.
It's kind of fast.
He was
right?
on leave. He came back. Surprise! He bought army pumps. You know, he's out there in the heels and the dress heels. Saddle up, gentlemen, and you know he put his voice on. You know he put the girl voice on.
Well, he's a girl now.
Just to throw it over the top. Who are you? You're working... Jesus. Look in my eyes. It's still me.
Josh, the Jew is saying, are you talking about the gunner?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I can't be a girl. What are you guys, a bunch of Nazis? Yes, sir. What's wrong? You guys aren't comfortable? Actually, I did this as a joke because nobody's comfortable having a hermaphrodite as a leader. Look at you guys, homophobes. Homophobes. Now, seriously, let's all get your guns. I don't have mine anymore. Get it?
Gray from Massachusetts says, why do Chinese love changing their names to something so outrageous? It's always like Jasmine, Crystal, Cleopatra, Sapphire, or some shit.
Yeah, that's true. There is something you could...
Jasmine is actually the most normal of those names. He spelled Crystal, K-R-Y-S-T-A-L.
We all know how you spell it. Because I sparkle. Now, seriously, time for drills. I could be drilled now, by the way. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Respect me. I'm still your... I'm still superior. I still like to be on top. Same on me! Same on me. Drew asking, is that how Crazy Mike talks to you? Yes. I didn't just make it up.
No, it is. He talks to you on the phone. On the show like that.
Hello! Oh, jeez. Two tickets for Eat My Asshole, please. Keith likes it because he's a faggot.
He will do that, though. Anywhere Keith
can go. Do you get it? I'm saying this guy is gay. Yeah, I get it. Here's your sandwich. I like sandwich. And dick. Is it a dick sandwich? No, it's a turkey sandwich. That's what you ordered.
I like meat in the middle of two larger objects.
And dick in my mouth. Why am I being punched? I'm going to go write the newspaper. That he punched me because I talked funny? I didn't get it. You know what? Nobody tell him. Nobody tell Crazy Mike that we've been talking about him yet. Because I could tell he doesn't know, or he'd be defending himself on the forums, because he's still he's really going out of his way to defend himself about somebody that said, you said you wanted to vote and you didn't. If you really wanted to, don't be a fake fuck. You know, just admit that you don't care. And he's really taking the time to defend this point. So he'd be taking his time to defend the gay thing. So let's see how long it takes for him to ever find out. And the reason I bring this up is because, tell me the comedian story that you just told me right before the show.
Oh, when I went to, what was it, Archers of Ha, which is Jamie Lee's show.
Right.
There were a couple, three comics that I did like. There was something about them, whatever, and the people that I was with also liked them. And so
that's how we found Jesse Joyce, you know,
yeah.
Not there, but, you know, we see people live and we talk to them.
Right. So, you know, I got their information and gave them mine, and we've been emailing, and I did book a couple, and one of them said... And everyone asks questions, okay, where do I go, obviously, what's it like, blah, blah, blah. Right. And so one person said, so do I do my thing for about 10 minutes and then we all go into yapping? And I'm like, what is this, Leno?
Right.
Did you even look at the website to see what you're getting booked on?
So you know what we're going to do?
Shut your face.
I don't know what, but something that does deserve a shut your face, because we're gonna do something.
Okay, but
yeah.
Usually, when I do invite a guest, I do say, you know, be here at this time. This is when we start the show. Like, I have them come a half an hour before the start of the show. I warn them that it might go over an hour. I warn them that they need a certain amount of time to be here, and that we're out, you know, over here in this area. And I also do say, I would recommend listening to a show. Can I still do that?
Okay, yeah.
I usually say, yes. I recommend listening to a show.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to see if she'll pay attention
yes.
to that.
Yes, and I'll be able to tell right before.
Okay.
And if she hasn't, I'm going to say the prayer and then go, all right, do your thing.
Okay.
And then we'll start judging it that way.
Okay, but we have to, I think, talk about it before and see, you know, if we think that she...
I'll just get the camera by that day, folks.
KeithandTheGirl.com/support.
Get the camera by that day. Robbery suspect arrested after complying with bank teller's request to take off his hood. Police said a York County bank robbery suspect was undone by being too willing to follow instructions. Police said that Brian Waltermeyer, 33 years old, who was homeless, walked into the Integrity Bank in York on Thursday evening wearing a hood. He handed a teller a note demanding money, and the teller told him to remove the hood. He did, giving the bank surveillance camera a crystal clear view. You don't have to be rude about it. Let me see your... If I can't even see your face. This was probably that girl from the Australian Current Affair. Well, take off your hood. At least take off your hood. I can't. I'm famous for it.
And now your sunglasses.
Right. Police said officers who watched the tape recognized Waltermeyer, and tellers were able to identify him from a photo lineup, and he was arrested.
Oh, I thought because he was like the local homeless guy. He finally,
right.
You know those guys that stand outside the ATM machines, which as far as I'm concerned is the worst place to try to get people on money, because you usually add a money and all there is 20s.
Sorry, all I got is 20s.
Right, and everyone talks about that, right? So it's probably the guy, he's like, all right, this ATM thing outside of the bank is not working. Let me try going inside. And they're like, no, it's you. Come on. You've been standing outside.
Well, he's being held on $50,000 bail in the county prison. And you think he's like, it's a catch-22. I was trying to get the money.
I thought it was a catch-22. Wow, you guys gave me a place to live.
Right. I want to know if he if there's flirting. You know, like, come on, let me see your eyes.
Was there a lot of convincing, you mean?
Yeah.
Somehow I doubt it. Right. Somehow she's like, sir, we don't give money. It's kind of rude. Like, can you...
Right.
No, I'll give it to you, but can you not be rude?
You know what? She's probably like, no hats in here, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Then as she's going through the money, she's like, is this going to fucking work? Are you kidding me? And he does it. And she's like, what? And he does it so that there's not a lot of attention. Like, oh, I don't want to be the asshole with the hat. Wait a minute. I see what you did. You don't remember that person, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't stew over that by being in jail for so many years. Because he's not going to be in jail that long. He won't.
Yeah, but he's so Looney Tunes that, I don't know.
I guess. Florida cops plucked a bag of cocaine from a 400-pound man's belly button. Gregory Van Dyke, now probably known as Yasmin, was nabbed after cops found cocaine residue in his car when they pulled him over for running a light near a known drug area in Vero Beach. When police brought him in, he admitted he also had $30 worth of crack hidden in his flabby folds of his stomach.
Oh,
when you
God.
See people getting...
Oh, my God.
You ever think of that? Good for fat people.
Fuck.
Good for you pigs. Nobody has shirts in your sizes, but when you do find something to wear, you just lift up a flab and you could put contraband in there.
Oh my God.
Spooky's working out. Go the other direction. You can carry a knife in any place. I've never thought of that.
Oh no.
Tucking? You know how they tuck? That's when you take your fat and you tuck it into your pants like your fat is a shirt. Like your fat is a sweater and you're tucking it in. You could put anything in there. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do searching them? So you could squeeze it. You won't find it. That is fantastic.
You ever see like super duper fat people and you're like, how do you wash? You actually have to lift your flab and wash underneath it. Then you think about like there's some guys whose flab like really goes way over and hangs down. And I'm like, your flab is covering your penis. It's covering your penis. In order for you to jerk off, you have to remove an extra layer of skin. Not that thing that Jews remove at 8 days when a boy is born.
Right, this is different.
Oh my God. Wow.
That is fantastic. And then you get to like the delivery spot and you just lift your... All right, where are the drugs,
oh,
fat fuck?
Oh, God.
And you know like a little bag of Coke is like sticking to it. You're like, oh, hold on, this one didn't... You know what I mean? Like needles and shit's falling out, but then you got this little bag of sticking with sweat.
Why did he admit it? They wouldn't have found it.
Right.
They could do a nakey search, though.
You know what it is?
You can get completely nakey as a fat guy, and you're hiding it in your flab.
You get nervous because... Like, you've seen cops and stuff, and it's and you could tell sometimes, you know, how like, we're all lawyers, and you could tell, like, no, he doesn't have a... You know, I listen to Jay-Z. He doesn't have a right to check your truck. Can I look in your trunk, sir? Yeah. I guess I have to, you know? You just want to be nice, I guess. Mm. Can you remove your hood, and can I check your truck? Yeah. Your glove compartment's locked. Can you open it for me? Yeah, I better. Like, you don't know you're allowed to say no. Well,
Jay-Z knows you are.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So this guy's like, do you have anything else on you, you fat fuck? I know. Like, yeah, I do. He's over. You know, they could have got away with it.
I guess it's just like, what were we talking about? When my brother and I were, when we were flying to Israel, and the guy's asking us really silly questions like, oh, you're going to visit your parents. Where do they live? How long have they been there? Oh, you like Israel? When was the last time you visited? And we're like, you're just trying to see how nervous we get about the answers. And they're trained to, right. And my brother and I are just nervous talking to this guy. We got nothing on us.
Yeah.
We really are going to visit our parents.
Well, you got to hide. Why would you be nervous?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. My Hebrew's not so good. Please let me answer in English because I'm afraid I'll like fuck it up.
People asking, doesn't crack make you skinny? He's the delivery guy. He's the mule, they call him. That is fantastic.
Oh, God.
Michigan convenience store clerk robbed twice, a little more than 2 hours apart. Why do you guys work in convenience stores? Maybe if you own it and it's too, I don't know. You own it, but you can't sell it. You know what I mean? I don't know. You came to this country and you think you're going to be a store owner.
Well, the way you
and
see
how
it
fantastic
is like,
it's going to be.
Oh, somebody bought gum. Now I got to replace the gum. Woohoo, 50 cents.
I'm not even thinking that retardedness. Yeah. You're open all night for what? You're open all night for what? What do you get? If you sell gas, maybe. But what do you get? You get robbed constantly. You're nervous constantly. You see.
We saw that show about people who work at the convenience store on the night shift. They're like, I steal money because I know that my life is in danger.
Yeah, that's true, right.
We saw that, right?
Yeah.
It's like more than one person saying that.
They walk. Anytime that bell rings in a convenience store, they get. Do you see the worker get nervous a little bit? Do you notice that? If you, like 7-Elevens and things like that in big cities, you know, Pittsburgh counted. That obviously New York, just look, they look up nervous, like I could die today. Mm-hmm. Then they see me and I'm cop looking and they're like, oh, I'm okay. But I used to
that's
be a
the only time that people are okay with you walking in the door without
I used
swing.
To be a little more disheveled and I used to scare them a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, I get that please no trouble look and I'm like, me? Are you kidding? I mean, I guess I know I'm not going to rob you, but
wow. We're
like, why do you want that job? And then this clerk, it doesn't look like it, doesn't own the place. So why would you work there? Why would you ever work at McDonald's, work in any other shithole? Why?
I don't know, maybe McDonald's.
Unless you're the son.
Are you forgetting what a small town some places are and all the other jobs are taken?
Suck dick. There's something. There's something. That load doesn't blow your head off. There's something else you can do. Two different armed robbers hit a Grand Rapids, Michigan. In a Grand Rapids convenience store in one evening, taking money from the same store clerk on both occasions. Tommy Gutierrez, 31, works at a Shell station on the city's northwest side. The robbers struck a little more than 2 hours apart. Do you do it like, do you give up? Like when the second robber comes, do you go, you already got me today? Well, not you. I didn't mean that racist. I mean, I've been gotten, you know, like you see a bomb, like, nah, somebody already flipped and I gave him a dollar.
Well,
I'm done for the day.
I told you before, my dad had a store, one in East New York and one in Ridgewood, which is on the border of Brooklyn and Queens, but it's not a good neighborhood. My mom worked in the Ridgewood one, And she got robbed at gunpoint. She's the one who worked the register. She got robbed at gunpoint twice. This is a Middle Eastern man having his wife, you know, work on the counter because, you know, you got to trust the person on there. After the first gun robbery, I was shocked that he let her continue working.
It is shocking.
There. Yeah, because he's always protective. I assume it's just because he needed somebody to be there. I worked the register in East New York. East New York is the absolute worst place in New York.
I would risk somebody skimming the register than my wife working there. I might think my wife's life is more important than a stranger's. And if you want to take this job, it's dangerous, but my wife isn't doing that.
And it's not like my father doesn't think her life is worth anything. You know, he really does. You know, she doesn't go out at night by herself. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's that kind of, you know, they're very old school. They're, you know, Middle Eastern.
Do you think about it and get mad? If this was a news report, I'd be saying, you know, I'm not saying it because it's your dad, but what the fuck? That is disgusting.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't see it as, I don't know.
You like how I didn't say it?
I just see my, this may be stupid, but if my mom said she didn't want to work there, then he'd find another way. You know what I mean? So right. He must have really, really needed it. I don't know. It's like, I also think about, like, if it was your story, Keith, and I worked there and I got robbed and I was like, strong enough to continue working there, then I'd rather do it for you than
I wouldn't,
you know,
let you
have someone
turn into a fight. I wouldn't let you.
I don't know.
He does not respect his family. Something to think about. Now I know why you cry.
Those areas, like, you hear gunshots every night. Like,
yeah.
They will work with the neighborhood people over there, and they're like, yeah, last night was this one girl.
Is he ever hanging out with the guys? Like, yeah, she's at work right now.
No. No, he's working all the time. No. No, it's not like he left her in the store, you know? He's got, like, a whole bunch of stuff going on. But there would be, like, the neighborhood people we're working with, because it's
Does she finish... I'm sorry. It happened twice. Your mom's robbed at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Does she finish her shift?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't have to, like, go home or what... Or call, you know, any point in calling the police and closing the store down for a few hours.
No. I don't think so.
You have to make the money back.
I'm sure she was shaky for a while, but she's a very, very strong person.
You think ethnic people or Middle Eastern people are listening to this show right now and being like, no work ethic there in America?
No, I think
you
the
finish
ethnics,
your shift. You
yeah,
would,
exactly.
Keith. You would just
exactly,
leave.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, the ethnics totally think
I'd be,
like that.
I'd be done for the day. I'd be done for the day, and I get an extra vacation day later in the year of my choosing.
Vacation day. You are American. you know what? I could be wrong about this, and my brothers will let me know, but I don't think, I certainly don't think they closed the store. In fact, I think my cousin started running after them after. I'm like, yeah, they have a gun, and you're running, so I don't think so. But no, I don't think she did. I could be wrong, but I think she just continued her shift.
New Orleans writing in, by the way. They should have just asked him not to rob them. That's what I did when I was robbed on the street.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your money. Come on, guys. Don't do this. That's what I did. So this guy, you know, it's in one of my CDs, Happy to Serve You, I believe. And two guys, two guns. But I don't know if I told this part in the CD. That another guy, just a guy on the street, walks past us. And I look over and I'm like, okay, we're going to work together like some mega team. I just need to make eye contact with you. You know, one of the robbers puts the gun to the other guy's head and says, give me your money. This stranger who can help me, who sees that, you know, I might die, keeps walking, goes, I don't have anything. And just keeps, in like an accent, I don't remember what it was, but some kind of foreign accent. And he just keeps going like he can't be bothered. Like,
a good move.
Yeah, it was a great move, but it's too late for me to do that. Like, could I do that now? But that is amazing.
I have to say,
we're
though.
We're pussies in America, I guess.
I wouldn't stop either, but I would call to get you some help after I, you know, was out of sight. My mom had an issue one of the times she got...
Right. I mean, maybe it just felt that way, but... No, you know what? It didn't. I was going to say maybe it felt that way. Like, I was really stalling this guy. He could have got help by then. However, I did call the police, and it was an hour... How long was it?
Was
I forget how
long.
It was a long time until any kind of cop showed up. He didn't get any help. He just went home. He was done. And that guy should have kept walking. Fuck him.
Maybe.
Well, maybe bad work ethic, but we're a little friendlier in America.
Well, one time when my mom was the one of the two times, my mom had just put lotion on her hands. And the guy was like, open the register right now, right now. And he's like, take everything out. And what happened was my mom's hands were really slippery at the time. And she's like, and you know, it's not the best English in the world, but she's like, listen, I'm being honest with you. I just put lotion. Like, you're explaining to this robber. I just put lotion on my hands, which is why everything's slipping and it's not moving fast enough. And like, how nerve-wracking is that? The lotion could have gotten you killed, you know?
If she would have taken a bullet, says Nikki, would she have gotten to leave early?
Oh, well, you got to take the bitch to the hospital, right?
because of American laws, not of my choosing.
In the same store, there was this girl who worked there. She's pretty young. I think in her late teens, like 18, 19 or something.
Did she ever work by herself?
Nobody worked by themselves. There was the register always needed somebody there. So, and it was always either me or my mom or my brothers. You know, I worked there all summer in the other store. I was in the store by myself sometimes in the other store. Like, I guess I was managing it because my dad wasn't there and I was the only other person who had any authority. In the worst neighborhood.
You could have been robbed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know.
There's nothing else your dad could have done for a living.
He did do other things for a living.
Your dad was very successful. At that point, went to a different place?
At that point, it wasn't the time of his success. It was after his success. It was after the downfall and then the trying to rise back up again. Those stores were closed pretty.
He was working in the city at first, right?
He was working like in Queens somewhere, had his own warehouse. It was a whole different line of work. Okay. So
I'm sorry. I know I'm cutting you off, but your mom was working the register. Did you just say somebody else was in the store probably?
The one that my mom worked at was the first one. It was the main one. So my older cousin, who's like, you know, maybe 15, 20 years older than me, also worked with her most days. My next door neighbor worked there.
Where was she those times? Where's the second person?
Upstairs in the office, because that was the main place.
Okay.
So there were other people there. She wasn't in there by herself.
Oh, there were customers, that kind of thing.
There were people working with my mom.
Okay.
And in the other store, there were people working with me, but they were all like strangers in, you know, not my cousins, not my anything.
You would think there'd be a plan, too. Like, did your dad ever say, if somebody pulls a gun on you, here's what you do?
No. What do you do?
Give
them the money.
Then you know what I would do?
We don't have an alarm.
I am not joking that I would, with my kid, no offense to your dad if I was scumbag enough to do this, with my kid, I would say, okay, I'm a robber. I just came in. Give me the money. And I would have you give me money. You know, just something. Just so, like,
you're used to it?
I'm dead serious. What's that? So you're used to it. So like
a fire drill.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you really don't
I don't want to make it sound like my father didn't give a shit about us. He really did. He admits this wasn't his greatest, you know, business venture.
Right.
And we were trying to help, you know? You don't not help.
I would have said, here's how you help. I would have said, all of a sudden in school, act stupid and take that class where they pay you to teach you. Help the family. But I know all the answers. You know what? Then go to work. For a genius, you're a dummy.
And then in the last show that my brother was on, I found out that my brother was getting paid to work for my dad and I wasn't. What in the fuck?
Because he knew, you know, hey, I think I'm going to get shot, Dad. And he's like, you've been in America too long. Your brother was born in America, right, or not?
No, he came here when he was one.
I was thinking maybe, one, okay. Yeah. So America got to him at a younger age than you.
Well, I came here when I was four.
That's 3 extra years of not being lazy and being a hard worker and knowing, I might get shot today. It's called work for a reason. You don't enjoy it.
I wasn't at work thinking I might get shot today. Let's not be so dramatic. But there was this one girl in the main store, the one that my mom worked, because we started working that store first because it was the only one for a while. So we were all there, like on the weekend, whatever. And she was like, let me tell you something. Last night, this bitch comes up to my face and I was like, what? And she was like, were you fucking around with John? And I was like, man, if I fucked around with John, what's it to you? Let me tell you something. John is my John, all right? What do you want to do about it? Why don't you meet me here in 15 minutes? Girl, I went back to my apartment, all right? I pulled back my hair because you know how we do, okay? I took off my earrings. I put Vaseline all over my face. And I'm like, how old was I? I don't know, but I was like, Vaseline on your face? She's like, you know, because bitches be scratching. So she's telling me how to do it. She's like, so anyway, so I put my, you know, sweatshirt on. You got to wear the long sleeves. I know it's summertime and shit, but she can't be scratching up my skin. And let me tell you something. I went outside. She fucking pussied out. I had Vaseline on my face. You know you're ready to fight when you do that. This girl weighed about 45 pounds. She was this tiny little, like, kind of cute, you know, whatever. And she's like, I was ready to go. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is the greatest story ever. This bitch was going to fight. So that's who we were working with.
Did you guys, if I was your dad, I would have thrown a few bucks for security. Like, I think we have our security. You don't got to pay him much. Little Kennedy fried chicken across the street every now and again. Any news before we get out of here? By the way, we're not going to do Dina today because some of the letters I'm looking at, not worth her time. Not worth her time. You have to earn it to get advice with Dina. So we're going to try again and talk to her next Friday. Send your questions to Dina at info@keithandthegirl.com. Just write something about Dina in the subject line. Not, hey, I have an offer for you. That might get deleted. To some people, not thinking we live in the world of spam.
Like, I don't ever put subject, you're not going to believe this.
Right.
You know, even though I want to.
Keith, Mally, something great for you.
Right.
I'll never know. I took the liberty of attaching it and not explaining it. Hope you open it.
Well, in 2 weeks, February 23rd, our live DVD will not only be in stores, but it'll also be our DVD release party happening on the Lower East Side, Avenue A and 6th Street. If you're in the New York City area, go to keithandthegirl.com/events. We already posted all that information. February 23rd, dinner, drinks. We're going to show you some piece of the DVD. It's going to be the first time you're going to be able to buy it. And you'll be the first to buy it. If you buy it there, it will be available at the place.
The food's so good there, too.
Oh, yeah. And also, for those who don't know, because we do get a lot of letters here and there about this, recently, Keith's CDs, all of the CDs he's got four now, they're all on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and you can just plug in your name, right?
You just plug in the name like I'm the real deal.
Yeah,
like so I'm a regular artist. Do you know what some people
so
got
cool.
by looking at other things? Recommended for you, and my name will come up.
Aww.
They match me with other artists and stuff like that.
So cool.
Isn't that cool? Type in the robbery story. I think I come up, and you can buy that track. Boom.
That's so awesome. So if you can go to keithandthegirl.com/store, the DVDs and the CDs that Keith has made, I guess, are available there. But if you just want it digital, go to iTunes, and they're available there as well.
King of Assholes, I have a question for Dina, but I was sick, so fuck it. Okay, then.
Okay, see, that's why we're not calling her today. Thank you for that example.
We'll see you guys next week.
I haven't been here in a while, man. Living out in Los Angeles now, L.A., or as I call it, Hell-A. And I just like getting out of there at any point, you know, just to go anywhere, you know, for the weather. They don't have fucking weather there, you know. Hot and sunny every day. Today, hot and sunny in L.A. Yesterday, hot and sunny. Every day, hot and sunny. And they love it. Isn't it great? Every day, hot and sunny. Hot and sunny every day. Isn't that neat? What are you, a fucking lizard? Only reptiles feel that way about this kind of weather. You know, I'm a mammal. I can afford scarves, coats, cappuccino, and rosy-cheeked women, and all are available for sale on the streets of New York. Now, where I will soon be returning, because L.A. is a nightmare city, and the sooner it falls into the ocean due to a major earthquake and is flushed away like the turd city it is into the Pacific Bowl, the better this world will be. Thank you. Good evening. Yes, good evening. How are you tonight? Good. Thank you. The comedy of hate. Join me. It's the newest thing. Join me. Hello. Spreading Christmas cheer. Welcome. Oh, won't we party hard when L.A. goes kersplash. Oh, grin from ear to fucking ear, won't we? L.A. fell in the ocean. There is a God. He loves us all so much. L.A. is a nightmare place, man. You always meet this one guy out in L.A. He's a real smarmy guy. He always says this. Yeah, I left Colin back east January 1st. What are y'all doing? Snowed in, huh? Bummer. Me? I'm out by the pool! What a dick this guy is. That's why I used to love to call L.A. when I lived in New York. What are y'all doing? Talking to TV producers, huh? Bummer. Me? I'm reading a book. Yeah, we're thinking back east. Yeah, we're evolving. Is that the big one I hear in the background? Bye, you lizards, come, bye. Ah, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Oh, it's gone. All the shitty shows are gone. All the idiots screaming in the fucking wind are dead. I love it. Leaving nothing but a cool, beautiful serenity called Arizona Bay. That's right. When L.A. falls in the fucking ocean and is flushed away, all it will leave is Arizona Bay. KeithAndTheGirl.com.